Closer, the Entrepreneur's Circle.
Hey, I'm so glad you're here because I don't often get the opportunity to share with you exactly what I do and what we do here at On Air Brands. So we help the folks in our community and our clients to launch a podcast and then produce them on a weekly basis. We also help to promote each episode with close to a dozen social media posts that consist of quote cards, sound bites, and video clips. And then we post them for you on your socials automagically. So if you're a business owner with a ton on your plate, and a podcast just seems super overwhelming, I get it. We don't need one more thing to worry about. So let me and my team at On Air Brands do the heavy lifting each week so that you can focus on what you do best, which is to build your business, have more time to pour into your family and your community, or just plain chill and recharge. So feel free to email me at eric@onairbrands.com so that we can book time together to chat about how we can align with your mission and how you can align with ours, which is to make the world better. One mic at a time. Now back to the show. Hey, folks, and welcome back to another episode of the Entrepreneur Circle. I'm your most happy and humbled host, Eric Cabral. As usual, I have an amazing individual in the room with me, and we're going to talk all things culture, community, building trust, and dinners. I have in the room with me John Levy. He's the founder and host of Influencers. He's a behavioral scientist. A New York Times best-selling author of the book, You're Invited. I had an opportunity to see him speak and hear him speak at a Vayner event. Really dropped a ton of knowledge and inspiration for us. But I want to welcome again to the show, John Levy. How you doing, brother?
Eric, thank you. It's great to be with the Yoast with the most.
In some countries, we're pronounced Yoast. Yeah, yes. I'm good either way.
Fantastic.
Yeah, brother. Let's start with a somewhat not debatable topic, and then we'll jump into our typical questions here. As an author, a best-selling author, what are your thoughts around, you know, the introduction of AI in the author space, especially in the creative writing space? Is it cheating? Is it leveraging a tool? What's your thoughts?
I think that every generation, when there's a disruption, gets really defensive. So I remember when, my friends were DJs growing up, and then there were like beat matchers eventually came out, or like beat counters, and people would be like, oh, that's cheating. And now like everybody uses it and the systems are great. And you know what? Everybody will find their way to create in every generation with the constraints that we have. And I think that there's a few things. One is most of the stuff that's being currently produced by AI is absolute trash, right? It might give you a great starting point. It might be a great place to say, hey, give me 20 ideas for characters for my story or something like that. And it might give you something. But as far as like really, really fantastic quality ideas, right? You're looking at a business book or something that explores something in depth. You're probably not going to find that in this stage of the technology. It might come in a few years. I don't know. And also, Eric, can I be really honest?
Please.
Nobody reads books. Like, don't get me wrong. People buy books. Right. People start books. And then they stop books.
Yeah.
They listen to audiobooks, right, all the way through, quite often.
True.
But if you really look like, I'm not especially concerned because I don't write books that are like poetry. Mm. I'm really proud of the stuff I've written. I think it's very, very good. But you want to ask yourself why you're even creating the thing. I'm creating the thing because I want a idea to be fully fleshed out so that it can have an impact on people's lives. Whether you consume that information in the book or in a conversation with, you know, the Yoast with the most, or through listening to an audiobook or through a shorter form article I write, great. I just want the ideas to get to you so that they can have an impact. Yeah. And I support myself then by speaking and consulting and all that. But the book functions as my expertise.
Yeah.
Now, if that means, Eric, your skill is not writing, I'm really happy the technology exists so that we don't limit the information being shared to only people with that specific skill. Right?
Yeah.
I love that. You mentioned a couple things there. The idea that it is really an exercise for the author to get their ideas out. I think that's fantastic because I'm in the process. It's been 2 years, brother, that I've been spending writing my book, and AI came out in between that time. And I'm like mentioning it to best-selling authors and other friends of mine, and they're saying that, it's cheating or leverage it the right way. I'm like, but I wrote near 20,000 pages. The book's, you know, in its rough draft.
20,000.
Oh, sorry. It's not pages. Did I say pages? I meant words.
Yes.
Words.
For your listeners, like a standard kind of business book is 280 pages.
No.
20,000 pages is more than like the complete works of Shakespeare.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. No, I meant 20,000 words. Characters, maybe? Maybe it's characters or words. I get it mixed up. Either way,
wait, how many
AI is here?
20,000 words?
Words, whatever it is, the standard to get 10 to 15 chapters. Yeah.
So the average book is probably like 60,000 words, 70,000.
Okay. So anyway, I got enough of a rough draft, very rough draft. Actually, it sucks. I read the first chapter. I'm like, I thought this was great 2 years ago.
No, it's awful.
But I do question, and the process is, I'm sorry, what'd you say?
I said, I'm sure it's awful. Like, first drafts are always awful. It's like
terrible, for sure. Yeah.
Any entrepreneur who's listening to this knows the first version of anything we create is just terrible.
And to your point earlier, it's really an exercise kind of to get the thoughts out, right? And then all of a sudden you start to create structure. You realize, oh, wow, this could be a course. This could be a masterclass, whatever it is. All these things start to stem.
280 pages is a terrible way to share an idea. That's like the bottom line. If you can structure it well, and you can tell a great narrative, and you can insert fantastic stories, and you can open people's eyes, there's the potential for something there. The other reason to write a book is, people often are like, oh, I want to write a book. Great, go write a book. It's like, frankly, you're not that interesting. Not you, Eric. I mean, like, the average person isn't that interesting that you need 280 pages of anything from that person. Right. Like, frankly, what's so great about my view of the world that everybody should be hearing it? You know, It's that if you are a professional in a business, and let's say you are an accountant that specializes on plumbers, right? If you write a book about accounting for plumbers, it will be the only book on that topic. So when people search you, then you are the credible source because nobody else is going to bother to write that.
Mm.
And so then it doesn't even really matter if it's a good book. The fact that you made the effort means that you've probably thought about these problems more than anyone else in the industry.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
So that's your calling card.
Yeah.
And then you do like the whole silly thing where you sell 14 copies in some weird subcategory of Amazon, call yourself a bestseller and whatever.
Exactly. Everyone's an Amazon bestseller. Well, New York Times is respectable. You know, that's a little harder to get.
I'll be honest. It was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life.
There you go. I love that. That's quotable. And I can imagine so. Yeah. What were some of the difficulties? What were the main things that hang?
So there's a whole bunch of issues. One is the New York Times bestseller list is not an actual bestseller list. It's a popularity context mixed with a bestseller list, meaning that they'll take the popular books that sold a bunch and then they'll see like who they actually like more. So if Oprah sells less than me, but they like her more, she might outrank me. Mm-hmm. The second thing is to prevent really rich people from just buying a whole bunch of their own books. Then not only do you have to sell a lot of individual books, right? If a company buys 1,000 books, it counts as one order. So you need to sell a lot of individual books. And in order to make sure that just some billionaire isn't buying a million of their own books, there has to be enough media to match that level of sales. So if you're on 3 podcasts and that's it, and you've sold, you know, 100,000 books, they'll say somebody here is gaming the system.
Mm.
So you have to be legit across all these different things, which means that, you know, you spend days and days on podcasts and weeks writing op-eds and articles and showing up on, if you can get on the shows, getting on the shows. And it's just exhausting. And each time you're saying the same thing over and over again, because it's your stump speech for the book. So suddenly it's, you know, 8 p.m. and you've literally had the same interview 10 times.
Oh my goodness. And then how long do you do that for?
Months. If you can. I mean, if you have the connections and the marketing team and all that. It's the average book, I think, sells like 500 copies.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay. Like I said, it's not a great model, right? Like 280 pages for an idea is not fantastic. Eric, if you want to get attention, you're probably better off writing an inflammatory op-ed that goes into some newspaper that'll piss enough people off that it gets attention for what you
do. Yeah. That's a terrible route I would never go through. But I see people doing it. It's nuts. It's nuts.
And we keep doing it. There's something really wrong with us. I'm working on my third book now.
And you keep doing it. Yeah, you're a glutton for punishment. Are you going to do the whole circuit again? Or are you going to approach it differently?
You're going to be hosting me again in a year.
Let's do it.
Not just that. You put aside your kids' education fund. You're going to be buying a lot of books.
I've had authors come through our events and they ask us to buy however many, you know, hundreds of books. But now that I'm hearing you, that's less about getting the numbers. That's more about the dollars, right? Versus I'm one company.
There are like some people know, like, I don't know how it works, but some people know like, the people at Barnes and Nobles so that they can get it routed as individual orders and stuff like that.
That's another game in the system, right?
Yeah. And so that might have been why people asked for that. I don't know.
It's interesting you mentioned, though, is the podcasting as it comes to play, because they're being taken more seriously now, more than ever. So they actually do look, because before it was, right, getting on the Good Morning Show and getting on this. So now it's less about the mainstream media, and they're now looking at little guys like us?
I think that they look at the aggregate, like, is there a whole lot of media to justify this? Here's the craziest thing. When I speak, and I don't know if you want to spend, I'm happy to talk about books the entire time.
This is fun, but yeah, we could try to get to some of the.
Yeah. Being, for example, on a magazine cover apparently doesn't sell any books because the audience of like People Magazine or something like that won't care about a business book. Right? They'll maybe care about some biography of Justin Bieber or something. Like, it's, you know, pop culture. But so you have to know your audience. The people that listen to your podcast probably really care about improving their lives, right? That's the focus of their impacting their careers, their success, all that. And so this is a much more targeted conversation. If I share a piece of information now, the people who are in your audience are much more likely to apply it.
Yeah, absolutely. More growth-minded type of people.
Precisely.
Yeah. Unless and you were on the cover of Entrepreneur Magazine. Something
sure.
like that.
I mean,
business.
Yeah, but like even then, my hunch is that what really makes the if is a digital article that might have the potential of going viral. Right?
Right.
The number of people who look at the cover and go, I want that dude's book. The cover is for our moms.
Gotcha. The people walking by in the airport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And standing next to it with your art, like in the same pose, hoping you get recognized.
I wouldn't be ashamed if I, you know, if I had to do that.
Gave me a terrible idea of like printing out a bunch of fake copies of the cover, putting it in the Hudson News at the airports and standing by it and being like, yeah, that's me.
Or even taking a copy of your book and going to Barnes & Noble and putting it on the shelf and taking a picture.
My book is actually in Barnes & Noble, so it's like kind of funny.
It's legit.
But I've definitely got there to take photos. The other thing we used to think about doing is like, dropping it off in the library or like other, you know, putting it in kind of key places that people are like,
notable.
What's this? Yeah. So it was really... It was just kind of like an amusing thing. Can I insert it into pop culture in different ways? But I'll be honest that like $20 a pop, it gets real expensive for a joke over the long term.
Yeah. All right. I know we have a little bit of shorter time for this particular episode, so I want to get into the meat and potatoes of what you do and what I love about you. In terms of mainly the dinners, I mean, we can get around the concept of the book and building community and trust and mm-hmm. empathy and all those things, you know, some of the main hallmarks that I recognized when reading your book, but also the conversations that I've heard you have on other podcasts, and also you know, from direct people who have been at your dinners. Can you mm-hmm. talk a bit about the concept behind that and what was the impetus? What created it?
Sure. So probably the real source of it is that I grew up so geeky and unpopular that I really had no friends growing up. And so I eventually became a behavioral scientist to figure out what would cause people to become friends. And if you're thinking, wow, John, that's really pathetic, then you're right. But it's okay, because I now have friends. So what I ended up doing was, in my late 20s, early 30s, I was modeling the behavior of really influential people. There was a study that found that our habits are really contagious from person to person. So everything from happiness and divorce rates to obesity to voting habits spread in our social circles, to the tune of, if you have a friend who's obese, your chances increase by 45%. Your friends who don't know them have a 20% increased chance, and their friends have a 5% increased chance. So it's 3 degrees out, which is crazy.
Wow.
So I wanted to become connected to the most influential people in our culture, both because it would cause me to hopefully gain knowledge and experience being connected to people who've really succeeded at an extraordinary level. And the second is that if I could connect them to each other, it strengthens our social ties. So we can now look at things from a long-term perspective, right? Eric, if you're friends with 30 of my closest friends, chances are we're going to see each other a lot. So if I can take the most influential people in our culture and connect them all to each other, then it causes them to connect more deeply around me, and I get to retain them in my life. It's kind of selfish, right? But it's a selfishness that benefits everybody, because the more extraordinary people you have in your life, the better your life becomes.
Yeah.
So what I ended up doing was studying the behaviors of these people, and then to find a way to engage with them, I created a secret dining experience. 12 people are invited. They're not allowed to talk about what they do or give their last name. They cook dinner together. And when they sit down to eat, they get to guess what everybody else does. And they find out that it's the editor-in-chief of a major magazine, an astronaut, Olympian, a Nobel laureate. You name it, we've hosted them. And it's been really wild. I've hosted 337 dinners in 11 cities in 4 countries. It's an international organization that's probably the biggest of its kind in the world. And I'm really fortunate that I get to surround myself with everybody from the voice of the dog in the song Who Let the Dogs Out, who won a Grammy for that, all the way through to, you know, the Prime Minister of Belgium has come. So it's pretty wild, especially because, frankly, my parents are immigrants. Like, I have no right hanging out with all these people. Like, who am I?
Yeah. Do you often get that, where you're sitting at dinner and you're having a very present, surreal moment where you're just looking around the room, everyone's enjoying each other's company. You're not necessarily having a conversation with anyone, but you're like, wow, look what I created. Like, this is wild. What am I doing here?
I'm usually, I'll be honest, too busy making sure everything's running. But a few days ago, somebody said, John, you are absolutely wild. And I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, you were running one of your salons. That's where we have like about 100 people come and we surprise them with 3 famous speakers. And you really just don't care who anybody is, do you? And I was like, what do you mean? And he goes, you were ordering a Nobel laureate around to like grab you stuff and pass it to you, as if he's like your assistant. And I go, yeah, but that's because when we're cooking together, like I have to kind of shout things out in order to keep the thing going. Like, I don't have time to think about their status. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, but it doesn't make any sense because you have kind of the most famous people in our culture, maybe not like A-list celebrities. I don't have like the Clintons coming or, you know, Obama or Lady Gaga or whatever, but, you know, everybody else kind of participates. And I really believe that when you treat people like they're human, then you end up having the potential to create community.
Mm. I love that. As you mentioned, I mean, is there a desire to have the Lady Gagas or the Clintons, or you want to keep it sort of what it, you know, sustain what it is?
The problem is it would be a fun footnote, right? It's one of those things that people will say, we'll take the photos once I die and put it in some like reel and then I get filed away in history or something. But I don't think it would improve my life very much. You know, what I'm focused on is building a community, which is long-term relationships. I don't think that that kind of very top global leader group has the bandwidth for that. I'm not going to be able to grab a ice cream and a walk with, you know, Bill and Barack.
Yeah.
It's just not realistic. What I can do is hang out with the CEO of a company or the chief marketing officer or a bunch of kind of maybe some actors when they're in between shoots. But I really want friendships. You know, I grew up that lonely kid and I'm still kind of trying to make up for things.
When you were first starting these dinners and you came up with the concept, which is fantastic. And I've heard you say you've likened it to like the IKEA concept, right? Where if you build it and you create something together, it's like you have more ownership and, you know,
yeah, you care more attachment. About it. You trust it more. All those things.
I love that concept and tying that into, because I have dinners called Beyond Business where I invite people to go out and eat, but it's not the same, right? It's not as intimate. It's not as, but I love it.
Eric, one thing I point out, like we don't license it. We don't allow people to use our format. But that's not to say that you couldn't take your dinners and develop a more community experience. So people have done all sorts of things, right? Let's say everybody who comes to your dinner needs to bring a book and that they like and gift it to somebody in the group, right? And then you have kind of this reciprocity circle where everybody's being generous to everybody. There are experiences where people bring their favorite records and each person gets to play one song throughout the course of the night and tell people what it means to them.
Yeah.
There's dinners that I've heard of where people put an awkward phrase under the plate. So when you sit down, at some point you have to say the awkward phrase. And the idea is, whoever came up with this was brilliant. That way, if you say something awkward in the conversation, people will just assume it was a requirement of the night, not because you are an awkward person.
That's so good.
Isn't that brilliant?
I love it.
So there's all sorts of things. You could go work out together and then grab some food. You can go on a hike. You can... Like there's plenty of creative, engaging ways you could volunteer together. Like all of these things are fantastic ways to connect with people. But yeah, it helps when people have to invest some effort when they have skin in the game.
Yeah. Was it by design or did you imagine when you started it that it was going to gain some attention and notoriety, especially in our little circles, you know, because as soon as my friend mentioned she was there, I was like, I know what you're talking about. So it's well known enough where.
Yeah, we were on the cover of the style section of the New York Times 10 years ago, which is crazy to me. I've been doing this for 13 years.
But
I think by year three or so, I was like, oh, I'm onto something. I don't think anybody expected me to keep doing it 13 years and, you know, four cities on a consistent basis, 11 cities in total. Like it's. Every month I'm on the road. It's not to eat terrible food. Like the food is just awful.
Now, when you're traveling, because from my understanding, when you're home, do you host the dinners in your home in New York or do you?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a controlled environment.
In my home in New York. We do one outside of my home every month because of people with pet allergies. I have a cat.
Gotcha.
And then we do New York, LA, and now Seattle. We try to do a little circle where
do
I go through.
Do you arrange with the restaurant, like, hey, we're going to cook our own meal, or is it a different
format? No. It's just in my home or in a friend's home. We don't bother with restaurants. Restaurants are so expensive to take over. I've done it a bunch of times.
Gotcha. So when you go to major cities, you just find someone that's part of your network or a friend.
Some
to say,
sucker
hey,
who's willing to make a mess in their home with a bunch of strangers.
Now, are you that sucker, Eric?
Are you?
I'm a sucker for everything. I usually fall for stuff. But are you bringing in like a chef to kind of watch things? Nothing. Just like play. I will.
That's it for now, folks. If you'd like to stay in touch with the show, you can contact me directly at eric@onairbrands.com. That's Eric, E-R-I-K, @onairbrands.com. And if you aren't already subscribed to the show, you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, or any other podcast platform. And please recommend us to one or two people in your circle. That will go a long, long way to growing our community. Also, if you could rate us on iTunes, just take a moment to give us 5 stars. And if they have more stars, give all of them. We'd greatly appreciate you for that. And always, always like, subscribe, and share this show on social media. We'd love you for that as well. And if you have any ideas or want to hear something on a future show, please hit us up. Maybe you have a question for one of my guests, or you want to tell a story, a success story. We'd love to hear from you. You can do that, especially if you're on the Anchor platform. You can leave us a voice message. We'd love to incorporate you and your voice on a future episode. Once again, folks, thanks again for listening to the Entrepreneur Circle. Please like, subscribe, and share. I am Eric Cabral, and as always, remember, your network is your net worth. So get in the circle.